Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
I once was a sinner. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the wide world ain't to sing the story. A sinner has come home. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, for the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And
a new name in glory, amen. And it's yours. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good. Woo! I like the second, that last verse that says, in the book is written, saved by grace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing that last verse. And all right.
In the book is written, saved by grace. Oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven. And I like this, oh, by the blood I am made whole. Oh, there's a new name
written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine.
And the wild old angels sing the story.
yesterday about football. Hey, no reason why we can't get excited about it, about Jesus today. Amen. About being saved. Amen. Having a new name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Well, you may be seated. It's good to be at Westside Baptist Church this morning. Amen. I've been looking forward to the services and couldn't wait to get on the property. And I'm just glad the Lord allowed me personally to be here. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here. But also, we have some guests. I believe it's Joe and Tammy Davis. Is that correct? Amen. Well, thank you for being with us. They're here from High Springs, Florida, if I'm reading this correctly. And we thank you for being here. We have a lot of folks that come in and out for the same reason you're here. So we appreciate you being with us at Westside. We hope you'll have a blessing, get a blessing. And I know, I tell you, if your eyes are open, your ears are open, you're going to get a blessing. Because the gospel is being sung, prayed, and preached this morning at Westside Baptist Church. I wanted to mention to you, Brother Tommy Tillman wrote a letter and just really, he wanted to thank the church for the way he and his wife and granddaughter were treated. He just was so appreciative for the love offering. Folks, listen, Westside Baptist Church gave him a total love offering of $1,100. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah, that's worth clapping over. Amen. And so that's a blessing when God's man comes through. And I guarantee you, he could use every dime of it. And let's not forget Brenda Phillips. You know the condition she's in. Also, Tracy and Chastity, we need to pray for them and what's going on with Miss Tracy and all. Where is Miss Tracy? There she is. I want you to know them. Praying for you all night long during the evening. And also just want to mention Miss Patsy Hollinshed in the hospital, right arm, totally limp. She had a stroke, so let's pray for her. And then also, come out tonight. We have two cool things going on. We're going to baptize tonight, have one getting baptized. And then secondly, come out and support Brother Mike Atkins. He's going to preach for you. Amen. Hadn't preached in a while, and I've kind of missed that booming voice coming across the holy desk, so we're going to let him preach for you tonight. So come out and support Brother Mike. Gentlemen, if you would, you come on, and let's take up the tithes and the offerings.
Good to see all of you at Westside today. Hope you've had a good week. Good to see Levi be able to be in service. Some folks been traveling, Rod and Patricia, been missing y'all. It's good to see all of you back. Remember, please, Patsy Hollinshed in prayer. The stroke that she's had is a little more severe than they thought, and she's looking at 2 to 3 weeks of rehab. And Brother Joe said to tell y'all he loves you and he appreciates you praying for him. I'm glad today. The saved folks in Westside Baptist Church, we know who the master of the wind is.
Among the peaks, my soul can
What a blessing it is.
Amen.
To be back in church on a Sunday morning here at Westside. Walked in this building today. The Lord will come in if we invite him in.
Right. That's right. Amen.
He's not going to force his way. He's not going to force a blessing on you. He's not going to force anything on us unless we invite him in, and we offer him the chance to do something for us today. If you're here today and you're not sure what's going on, you're not really understanding the praise and the worship of the Lord, there's an altar down here that you might be able to take advantage of today and see what the Lord might have in store for you personally. Because I promise you, if you're in this building today, he's got something for you personally.
That's right. Amen.
It's not just this side over here. It's for you personally today that he's got a special blessing for you. Boy, it's so good to be here today. Can I do something a little? This was on my heart when we came out, and I've done this a couple of times lately, and it's not something that I don't mind putting people on the spot about singing. I think we should be prepared always to do and serve the Lord. But I've that the Lord impressed me to a few weeks ago to call on some folks to just say something about their salvation and what has gone on in their life. And Brother Joe came in and wasn't nothing special, just came up and we shook hands like we always do. And I said, "Have you had a good week?" And he said, "I've had a week." And I think we can all say, "Yeah, we've had a week." Some of us, we're going through hard times and situations, and it's easy to get caught up in those situations sometimes and lose sight of what the Lord really wants to do for us and how good He's been to us in the past week since we've not been here together. And I wouldn't normally do this, especially to her. Christy and Barry Ford are special to me. Christy's like a little sister. We've been here since the beginning of the church. And when we were coming out, I said, "You know, if the Lord opens up the opportunity, I want to just ask her to put her on the spot," which scares her to death. But I said, I just want to give her a mic and tell her just to tell us how good God's been to her this week. Because if we look for it, we'll find many places that if it hadn't been for Him, we might not have got through. But
Dave does not love me. But God has been wonderful to me. Last week, Mary's test came out good. But I was a lost church member for a long time.
Bless the Lord.
And God touched my heart. And that's why I love Brother Bennett so much, because he can help preach it about hell. And I don't know if y'all remember a little boy named David Langley that had brain cancer. When I come into church and I saw that little boy, and God touched me and said, "You need to make it right." So that's when I'm coming in, and I got saved. And Miss Scott Payne prayed with me. I have a daughter. Please, God, make me whiter than snow. But He's so good to me. He's so good to me.
Yes.
Better than I deserve.
Whoa. And that's better to us than we deserve. Because truth be told, folks, we deserve hell. We all deserve to be there now. Nothing we've done, if He hadn't shed His blood for us. I mean, who are we? Who are we to really, you know, step up and claim to be a child of the King? But by His grace, we are.
Amen.
And if you're not saved today, I wouldn't leave this building before I got this straightened out with Him, because you're not promised another breath. You're not promised to make it out of this parking lot. As Richard Lewis said, the gas may be in the hearse that'll take your body to the cemetery. I wouldn't leave here today not knowing. Sing "Who Am I."
They put me on the spot, but I was a lost church member up until about 3 weeks ago.
Amen.
Thought I was saved. Went through all the routines, and I believed with all my heart I was saved. But Brother Alton preached a sermon on, and he mentioned that he had he knew exactly where he was when he got saved. And I got under conviction. I've been under conviction for about 6 months, off and on, just battling back and forth, trying to convince myself I was saved, and just kept battling. About 2:45 on Monday morning, about 3 weeks ago, good Lord woke me up, and I got up and went in the front bedroom, and we had a prayer meeting, me and God. And I said, Lord, either save me or kill me. I'm just tired of battling. I'm tired of this. I need you. I need you, Lord. I need this to be settled one way or the other. And the good Lord saved my soul. 3:30 in the morning.
Where's the Lord?
And about 4 o'clock, I was texting all my buddies and waking them up. And most of them didn't respond until about 6 or 6:30. But God's been good to me. He's saved somebody that wasn't worth saving. And I praise him. I thank y'all for loving me.
Yes, sir.
And this would not have happened without y'all. Because y'all's friendship, y'all's love is what brought me here and kept me in this place. Thank you.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Lord is good to us this morning, folks. He was good to us yesterday morning, too. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 3. I sense the presence of the Lord. The old song I sense the presence of the Lord. I believe it is in this place. I think he's here this morning. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, and referring to the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, in verse 21 of Luke chapter 3, verse 21, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, and heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended upon him." I like that. The Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." I want to speak to you just for a few moments on some of the attributes that we see in the Holy Spirit through this form shaped as a dove. We find the Holy Spirit in the book of Genesis. There's a thing called the law of first mention. And when a topic or something or the other is mentioned first in the Bible, that type or that picture is carried throughout the scripture. And we first see the symbol of the Holy Spirit in Genesis chapter 8, where Noah's on the ark. They've been there for some time, and he first sends out a bird, and it, of course, doesn't come back. And then he sends out a dove. And the dove, it does come back. And it comes back empty-handed. It came back because there was really not any foliage. So he released the dove again. And this time the dove left. And when it came back, it came back with an olive leaf in its mouth. Now, I believe, personally, what is so impressive and important concerning that is that out of every tree or that could possibly have been exposed on the face of the earth, it just so happens that the dove brings back an olive leaf. The olive leaf, when squeezed and broken, would ooze out this yellow stuff. And it was the olive oil. And this olive oil, throughout the scripture, was used to anoint kings, priests, and prophets. And so here, I believe in chapter 8, we have Noah, God's man, receiving the Holy Spirit with an anointing into the priesthood. You say, well, where do you get that? Well, if you find that after he took that little dove in, you find it wasn't long, the ark was open. And what was the first thing that Noah did? He conducted a sacrifice unto the Lord
with the most precious items on board. You think about this. On board were the animals and the people that would repopulate the world, and yet he stopped, and the very important items that were on the boat, those things so imperative to repopulate the world, he took one and he committed a sacrifice, that priestly order unto the Lord. Not only do we see that he was anointed as a priest, but I believe he's anointed there because he had been a prophet. He'd been a prophet in that he preached for 120 years saying, folks, there's some clouds on the horizon. He stepped into the role of meteorologist. He said, folks, there's rain coming. Was noticing that there may be rain here tomorrow. Thank God. Tuesday is supposed to clear off so we can start having our roof put on. Amen. But nevertheless, old Noah, he was a prophet and priest. And then you could say, I guess, you could possibly say he was king in the fact he was the head of the household. And there were only seven of them on earth. That made him king, didn't it? But nevertheless, the picture is painted of the Holy Spirit there in Genesis chapter 8. And here we see the Holy Spirit landing on the Lord Jesus Christ in the form of a dove. I was reading about the dove and some things I found pretty curious. Some items I just caught my attention, and I'm going to share them with you. And then we'll go to the house. Well, you'll go to your house. I'll go to my house. I don't want all of you at my house. You could eat into my nap time this afternoon. Amen. The first thing you have to notice, I would guess, the most obvious thing, is that the dove is a bird and the bird has feathers. I found that interesting because I read a statement of an evangelist where he noted that there are 9 main feathers that are absolutely needed for flight on the wings of the dove. Absolutely imperative that these 9 feathers are where they are to be. I read that, and what came to my mind is I believe it may be important to point out that there are also 9 gifts of the Spirit given to the Christian. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, the Bible begins by telling us the fruit of the Spirit is love. Did you hear what I said? Those feathers are imperative for the flight of the dove. And here we have an example that one of the important feathers, if I may say, for the flight of the Christian is love. Not the perverted love that we see on the TV screen and in the movie theaters, but a pure love of God that he has given us one for another. I've mentioned this, and I'll mention it again. I believe that one of the most purest forms of love is the parents' love to their children. Child can get out and do things wrong and seek true forgiveness from their parents, and it won't be long that parent does not even remember the infraction that child has committed. That's a true love. And I want to say again, all Christians, that if we love each other with a biblical True love will overlook one another's infractions. We're all flawed. We're all flesh. And we're to love one another. It's no mistake, it's no coincidence that the Lord Jesus Christ described that loving one another was the 11th suggestion. No. He called it the 11th commandment. One of the 9 fruits of the Spirit is joy. Another is peace. Another is long-suffering. Another is gentleness. Another is goodness. Another is faith. Another is meekness. Another is temperance or long-suffering. And then the Bible says, against such, there is no law. In other words, the author is saying this. Fellas, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, go ahead, enjoy it. There ain't no law against it. I'm talking about the 9 feathers there in the wings of the dove. Then I found out that there are also 5 main feathers in the dove that allows them to take flight. And without these, they cannot fly. There's 5 main feathers. I found that interesting, seeing that in numerology, that the grace of God is represented by the number 5. The number 5 also represents the 5-fold ministry of gifts of the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, and the teachers. That's found in Ephesians 4, in verse 11. The tail feathers are like the rudder of a ship. Without those tail feathers, they have no balance. The dove has no direction. Just as the 5-fold ministry of the gifts in the church bring balance to the body of Christ, we find the 5 servants, the apostles, the prophets, the pastors, the evangelists, and the teachers. The number 5 is used by Paul, I'll use this term, to end the dispensation of tongues. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19. Yet in the church, this is Paul saying, I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. I'm telling you, folks, the simplicity of the gospel is represented here by the number 5. Then we move from looking at the feathers of the dove, and let's look for a moment at his eye. I found it interesting because in the book of the Song of Solomon, in chapter 1 and verse 15, behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair, thou hast dove's eyes. I went online and began to look at the eyes of the doves, and I want to tell you, they are beautiful. They're a lot prettier than the ones I have. Then I went ahead and I read a little further, and I found that the dove is known to have impeccable eyesight. The thing with doves is that they can only focus on one thing at a time. Now, they do a good job at it. They're not slothful, but they focus on one thing at a time. The Holy Spirit also focuses, I believe, on one thing at a time. You say, well, what is his focus? Well, if you'll read your Bible, you'll find that the Holy Spirit is constantly pointing toward the Son of God. You may be here this morning, and you may ask the question after hearing these testimonies of these that were in the choir. You may ask the question, well, how do I go to heaven? And even as I speak, I believe the Holy Spirit will say, look to Jesus. For the Christian, we go through ordeals in our lives, and we may say, Lord, should I take that new job? I believe the Holy Spirit will say, glorify the Son. You may say, well, Lord, should we buy that house? I believe the Holy Spirit will say, in answer to that, just glorify the Son. Well, Lord, what kind of clothes should I wear? I believe the Holy Spirit will say, glorify the Son. Well, Lord, what kind of car should I drive? And what kind of car should I buy? I believe the Holy Spirit will answer, just glorify the Son. What and whom do you want me to date? And who would you want me to marry? I believe the Holy Spirit's reply will be, glorify the Son. What would you like me to do, Lord, with my Christian life? I believe the Holy Spirit will say to you, glorify the Son. Well, Lord, what kind of entertainment should I embark upon? The Holy Spirit will say to you, Christian, glorify the Son. Well, Lord, how often should I go to church? The Holy Spirit, Christian, will say to you, glorify the Son. Well, with whom should I associate with, O Lord? The Holy Spirit will say to you, just glorify the Son. Well, Lord, I'm a Sunday school teacher. What do you want me to do to be a blessing to my class? The Holy Spirit is screaming out, glorify the Son. Lord, I sing in the choir, but what good is it? And what good am I doing? And what is the purpose for showing up at 4:30 on Sunday and practicing and being told I'm doing it wrong and made to do it right? Lord, why am I doing this? And I believe the Holy Spirit will say to you, Christian, just glorify the Son. Lord, I want to invite people to come to church, but I'm scared to approach them. What do I do? And the Holy Spirit, I believe, will say, Christian, just glorify the Son. I'm a parent. Lord, I'm a parent. What should I do to expose my children to Christ? I believe the Holy Spirit, in response, will say, just glorify the Son. Oh, Lord, I'm a parent. My child or even my children aren't living for the Lord. What should I do? The Holy Spirit's whispering in your heart even now, dear parent, just glorify the Son. Preacher, I'm eating up with disease. The doctors don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know what to do. I want to suggest to you, sick one, just glorify the Son. Lord, I'm a Christian. I'm your child, but I'm beaten up and I'm battered. I'm abused and falsely accused. I'm wounded. I'm hurt. I'm bruised. I'm bloodied. I feel broken beyond repair. I'm depressed and distressed. God, I've been through so much. I'm almost numb, Lord. What do I do? And the Holy Spirit saying, oh, Christian, glorify the Son. Like the dove, the Holy Spirit is focused on that very thing which will cause us to move forward in our Christian life and accomplish His mission in our lives. The Holy Spirit is focused on that one element that will raise us above every circumstance and every situation that previously I've mentioned here this morning. He knows. He knows, oh Christian, that if we will glorify the Son, the shackles that bind us will fall off and the kingdom of God will increase. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about His eyes. First His feathers, then His eye. But lastly, excuse me, we're going to talk about His nest. In my reading, I found that the dove, like any other bird, has a nest. Well, I wanted to find out about the nest. It's funny that the Bible tells us about the non-domesticated doves. And you know what the Bible says about the nest of the doves? It says in Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 14, "My dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock." Ladies and gentlemen, that is where the doves build their nests. In the cleft of the rocks. When I read that, I couldn't help but think of the song that tells this story. This song says, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Then the chorus says, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand, and covers me there with His hand. The song goes on to say, a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up and shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as by day. How is that? Because He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of His love and covers me there with His hand. The next verse says this: with numberless blessings each moment He crowns, and filled with His fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, oh glory to God, for such a Redeemer is mine. How can we claim that? Because He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows our dry, thirsty land. He hideth our lives in the depths of His love and covers us there with His hands. When clothed in His brightness, transported our eyes to meet Him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, His wonderful love, I'll shout with the millions on high. How do we have confidence in that? How do we know? Because he hideth our soul in the cleft of the rocks that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers us there with his hands. And covers us there with his hands. Ladies and gentlemen, that's just three elements that we can take from the dove concerning the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lifts up the Son to the lost. The Holy Spirit lifts up the Son to the saved. And all we've got to do is enjoy it. All we've got to do is embrace it. You know why? Because he hides our soul in the very place where the dove builds its nest. In other words, we're as good as home. And I can't wait. I'm ready for the eastern clouds to split. I'm ready for Jesus to come. There's a whisper. There's a spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that's causing men to recognize that the winds of change are coming. When the lost are talking about the end of the world, I'm talking about lost people, godless people, that are saying, is there anything to this Bible prophecy thing? I'm saying that it's in the wind. The Holy Spirit is speaking to the lost and the saved alike. And he's telling us, I'm about to come get you. What are we going to do, Christians? We enjoy these elements of the Holy Spirit, but Christians, we have a job. Christians, we have a job. There's lost and dying people all around us. We have a job. Last week, Brother Tommy Tillman, boy, I tell you, I don't know about y'all, that was good. That was good. That man is amazing. That was good. He was laying out his burden for lost and undone people in Mongolia, and he stood behind that holy desk and wept like a baby. Wept like a baby because he wanted to go back and tell one more Mongolian, one more leper about the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that time is limited, whether by the end of our lives, because we're not promised another day, or whether it be by the rapture, our time is limited. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit is speaking out. He is seen. He is focused on glorifying God. His feathers have painted a picture of what we should be in Christ. And then lastly, we see that we abide with him and he abides with us. It's all about his nest. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The question just is this. Has there ever been a time in your life when Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit of God has come upon you and exposed to you just how lost you are? Has told you, without me, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell? Has the Holy Spirit ever tapped on you and said, come unto me? Has there ever been a time when you've invited the Lord Jesus into your heart? If there has not been that time, would you this morning, as we sing our invitation, come down and allow us to take God's word and show you how you can be saved. Then, Christian, I want to ask you this. Was anything in this message, was it applicable to you? Did you say, Lord, that was for me? If so, I don't know what that burden is. I don't know what the Holy Spirit is dealing with you concerning. I just don't know. But would you be willing to come down this morning and say, Lord, this thing's on my heart, this burden, this concern, this desire is on my heart, and I just want to leave it with you today. Lord, I just have seen what Pastor Midget is saying. I see the news. I see the documentaries. I read what even a lost and dying world is now saying about the end of time. And I want to make sure that I'm ready. But I want to make sure my family's ready. I want to make sure my mama's ready, my daddy's ready. I want to make sure my children are ready. I want to make sure that those that are lost are ready. Would you mind this morning coming and tapping the Holy Spirit on the shoulder and saying, oh Lord, oh God, would you save my children? Would you save my loved ones this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed, would you stand? As we sing, Brother William, folks are coming to the altar. Would you surrender to the Holy Spirit this morning and move accordingly?
Just as I